Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host John Crockett and we are talking all things hot takes. The show where we're spitting that fantasy fire on some of the most outlandish calls that could actually be a reality in 2021. And to help us do that is the man from Western Victoria in his man cave, Stevie Fizz. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, but we got this neighbour. It's not the next neighbour, it's like one over and they must put their dog out when it's their dinner time or something, because without fail, between like 7 and 8.30, this little fucking kind of a dog is just bark, 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 and it just doesn't stop. And, oh boy.
Yeah, I've got neighbours that have children like that that do it all day until I just fire up a whippersnipper and they go all running.
Yeah.
Fucking kids. And welcome to you, Cam.
Yeah, hey, I got called out on the twits during the week by Breno, for apparently finishing every sentence in a question, and it's hit me deeply, and I don't quite know how to respond at all.
With a question?
Well, I mean, it was really hard to not finish that last sentence with a question.
Don't you finish everything with a question? That's just the golden rule of life.
Yeah.
Is it?
I think.
The problem Breno's got is he's had a go at Proust.
Oof.
And
now it's personal.
Now it is. It is. I'm like MJ sitting in that chair in my man cave, except his is, you know, not in Portland. And he's banging on how he's injury prone. Mate, he's not injury prone. He's just not good enough to get picked, all right?
There it is. All right, let's get it started. Cam, why don't you kick us off with your first hot take?
And mine are both sort of Nando's medium tonight, boys. I don't know if I'm overly proud of these hot takes, but my first one is going to be Simpkin will be a top 10 mid by the end of the year in both formats. By a country mile, Simpkin was the Kangaroos' best player last year. Jed Anderson had a career year. Luke McDonald had a pretty much career year. But neither of them held a candle to Jai Simpkin, who led the Brownlow count for North Melbourne across the board. Generally, it wouldn't be a massive achievement, but one, it's good that North Melbourne got some Brownlow votes. And two, he beat out Todd Goldstein, who dominated for three quarters of the year. So it's probably a sign of things to come. Seem to be a lot of people throughout the fantasy community, Steve, I think you might be one of those people, that seem to think, shit, did I finish that in a question? I did a question mid-sentence that time. One of those people that seem to think that Cunners coming back into the team, and Dom Tyson, obviously, are going to have a significant impact on Simpkin's output this year, and I just don't buy it. I read a post stating that he could spend some time forward, but I think, you know, the more I think about it, that's probably going to be pretty common throughout the comp next year. So to save on interchanges, the players that can be useful forward will probably rest there. Those that can't be will probably sit on the bench. But that being said, he's, you know, known as the time trial king down there because he's got that incredible tank. It's not just burst speed. He can run all day, so maybe he's one of those players that actually sees a benefit out of this. I feel like the middle three will predominantly be Simpkin, Cunners, and Jed Anderson, with guys like LDU, Cam Zerha, Jamont, Bailey Scott, and those two new draftees probably giving him a bit of a chop out. But there really isn't just anyone otherwise that would remove him from that role. And it's definitely not Jamont. Jamont is a winger, and he's been playing on the wing for the last 2 years. Bailey Scott is developing. Zerha's a forward, but he'll pinch hit the same way DeGoey does, or did. And LDU is still developing. I think we need to remember as well that 2020 was his first year playing as non-baller, and he really showed that he has like a really good ceiling in that period as well. He managed three scores over 130 and two others over 119 in Supercoach. In AFL Fantasy, he had six scores over 111 BCV, including a 130 and a 125. I reckon he's got another gear. I reckon he can go up. And there's not much competition there. I feel like the argument for competition isn't right.
Well, it's North Melbourne. I mean, what sort of competition are they playing there? Not much. Like, I think Cunnington, yes, he'll be your main guy. I agree. I think Simpkin will be the mainstay in that midfield. And as you said, rotate those LDUs, Zerhas and those through it. Nice and mild there.
I mean, you know, obviously I don't think Cunnington helps him.
Mm.
And uncontestable isn't a strength of North Melbourne or Simpkin. So that would be the only thing he really has to improve on. But he was a long way from the top 10. So it's pretty hot.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even, in our rankings last week, he wasn't even top 30 for us.
No.
I think justifiably.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Always room for improvement.
This doesn't excite me. It's not an exciting player.
Mm.
I was more excited when I was more excited when I was streaming him like 2 and 3 years ago.
How do North keep on finding those players though? Because Trent Dumont is that player too. Like where you're just like, he's not an exciting player to own.
Team vanilla. Just team vanilla across the board.
Jack Zeeble. Yeah. Team Jag.
Like, even Todd Goldstein's not exciting to own because you just know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Like, there's no X factor in that team, is there?
I mean, Higgins sort of was, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's
Daniel Wells team. Is like, it's the only one who sort of that real last X factor player that they sort of had.
Boring team. Boring team.
Boring team. Boring take boring team. As a result.
Well, I'm going to follow suit with that mild peri-periness there, Cam. And that is Tom Dode as a top 10 Supercoach defender for season 2021. Now, look, we know all about his injuries, had the ACLs and the ham bone this year, but the Crows are bad. They're like Essendon not winning a final for 15 years bad. So they're going through a bit of a rebuild, restructure and whatnot. They've got middle-aged to old midfield. I know they've got Caldwell coming in, or Caldwell, Haley. I always get it mixed. Haley coming into
same player, same dude,
same team. GWS, XGWS, but they're just bad in the midfield. And the thing is, he's got no competition in that defence line. Like we spoke, we knew Alex Keith went to the Bulldogs last year. So the interceptors aren't there. They've got heaps of those halfback flankers running defenders. So he's just going to be there, akin to what Jordan Ridley did, just taking everything in that defense, coming inside defensive 50 there. He only had the 9 games in 2020, where of those 9 games, 5s were well over 100. I think the top was 143 for Supercoach. But it's the floor. It's that floor of Tom Dode that he really needs to lift up. In the 4 of those games, other games, he had 2 games in the 30s, both non-injury affected games. So there's a lot of room for improvement there for Tom Dode just to raise that floor just a smidge. So he can get up to those, you know, he was banging out 110s, 120s when he was scoring well. So if you just raise it up by about another 80, 90 points, you're golden. And staying fit. That's the problem with Tom Dode. The last couple of years, he's only played 10 games in 2 years. So if he stays fit, the world's his oyster, and that's why Tom Dode will be a top 10 defender in Supercoach for season 2021.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Tom Dode. It's like, it's, no, it's worse than vanilla. It's an unflavored goop in a cone.
Vanilla gelati?
No, there's no vanilla. There's no flavor. It's just, it's like you're eating.
It's just ice.
No, you're eating snot. It's just like a snot, a bowl of snot. Sorry to Tom. Sorry, Tom. He's a big fan.
All right, Steve, come on. Turn the heat up on this hot take show because it's been pretty mild, to say the least.
Well, so I don't even think. It's just the players you've chosen. It's just, I don't care. It's Jack Lukosius time. All right. Player we're excited about. Player we want to see. Top 8 defender, Jack Lukosius. Natural improvement. We've all sort of we've got him ranked as though he will improve. I think we mostly got him in the 20s. One thing that's interesting, Jack Lukosius coming into his third season, Okay, that's generally when we see players take a bit of a breakout quite often. And the position Jack Lukosius plays, you're looking to see these sort of players get about 90 to 94, well, maybe 93% time on ground. The intercepting defender type player, although he wasn't really a great interceptor, he was more just a halfback. He only played 82% time on ground last year. So aside from natural improvement, there's just easy improvement when he's with his fitness improving. So I think it's really simple to get there. Pierce Hanley, you're gone. He played 8 games. It's not like he played 2 games. He's out of there, and he was a good interceptor. I can't imagine Sam Collins is going to be able to repeat his intercepting numbers. So I think there's more there. The interchange rule, it should suit players like this more. They should be looking to get their time on ground up, in my opinion. The midfielders probably need to keep their rotations going. And they want him to use the ball, man. He's like one of the, he's an elite in the competition, meters gain player. You certainly want the ball in Jack Lukosius's hands. Prodigious talent. It's all coming together. Gold Coast Suns playing finals in 2021. Get around it.
I think that's the hottest take of the show so far. Gold Coast playing finals 2021.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Well, it's like the what was the show? The face off show, where I just yell louder so I win. It's Trump.
A bit like that.
Yeah.
Alpha moves.
Just speak louder and it makes the take hotter.
Cam, give us your second hot take, please.
I don't know. I don't have a loud take in me. We'll go Darcy Parrish will go over 95 in both formats. So this one's a little closer to gut feel than data-driven, but even with increased competition at the Bombers, I refuse to write off Darcy Parrish, even as a mid-only in both formats. He's not going to cost you anything in drafts because of that lack of DPP, so you can probably afford the risk as a speculative pick. But basically, I just don't buy the whole shared coach thing with Woosha and Rutten worked overly well. And I also don't buy that Rutten had a lot of say last year in what was happening as far as game plan and position deployments go. So new coach, new opportunities. And with performances in front of that new coach last season that completely broke games apart, there's reason to think that he might have earned his spot in that midfield. There was about 3 games, a 4-game stretch towards the end of the season where he basically won the game for the Bombers. So looked really good. And in those games as well, he scored pretty fantasy friendly. It was about 104 average across 5 games in both formats. So pretty handy. Granted, there's increased competition. If we run through those names, though, there's Langford, Parrish, Smith, Zerett, Heppel, if he ever gets fit, Scheel, Caldwell, and McGrath. But why isn't it him ahead of those blokes? Langford played a shitload of time forward, at times playing almost a full game as a forward last year, because they just don't have any options there. Smith ran off the halfback towards the end of the year, so they probably weren't happy with his output in the midfield, and they needed to make a bit of a switch with him. Heppel has been touted as a switch to halfback as well this year. Caldwell has never been 100% on baller. Merritt has been a winger predominantly for the last 2 years, so he's not getting those CBAs. I think there's more question marks about those type of blokes than there is with someone like Darcy Parrish, who could actually form part of a really strong part of that on-ball unit with him, McGrath, and Scheel. At the end of the day, as I was saying, like, he's the kind of late draft speculative that, you know, if it comes off, could really win you your league because you're not going to pay anything for him. He'll be a bench draft because of his mid-only status.
He's always been that boom-bust player. You always saw, like, his first halves, he'd be on, like, 84 points, and then the second half, he'd score 7 points or something ridiculous. Like, it was like he had no tank whatsoever, so maybe with these less rotations, more game time, that they've just got him running just to build that tank where they will see him in the midfield permanently.
I don't think it was necessarily his tank. I think it was positional. So, like, people that are, you know, those half-forward, the sort of small forwards, they go through bursts. It's just the way that the play goes, right? So they either kick goal or they take a couple of marks or get a couple of tackles from pressure.
But he scored when he was in the midfield. Like, we saw him in that Sydney game. He scored, like, had 13 tackles or something, or 13 possessions in the one quarter.
Exactly.
And just brained it.
And completely blew the game apart. But where was he before he did that? He was sitting forward.
Probably sitting in the forward pocket or something.
That's like right. That. And that was in front of Rutten as well. So I kind of buy into the fact that there's no one else. Like, I don't think the others there are better than him. And I just reckon Rutten, if you want to start your career well, you want your best players around the ball. And he's probably one of their better players.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm all for it. I love Parrish. I just don't see why they don't fucking throw him in there all the time.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
It feels weird that, you know, there's so much hype on Caldwell coming over, who's done nothing to earn that hype. And yet Parrish has been there and done it. Like, I feel like he could... Why is it Caldwell?
Just toss us, he's the hot property and... Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's weird because they drafted him high.
Yeah.
They've developed him along, and now it's like, oh, we want Josh Dunkley. It's like, guys, you've got a guy who actually has won you matches in the fourth quarter and been solid. Like, why don't you develop within rather than trying to poach? Or
yeah,
I don't know. It's a strange one, really.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. My second hot take. It's going to be a Bulldogs player. Can't go past without naming a Bulldogs player. It's Adam Treloar. Now, we know the Western Bulldogs, they have a plethora of midfielders, but they don't have...
What's funny about plethora?
Because El Guapo.
I wasn't going to go the Camway plethora, but that's just completely wrong on how you say it.
It's plethora.
Plethora.
Wow.
Don't you remember the Three Amigos? Plethora.
I can't remember. Anyway, the Bulldogs have a shitload of midfielders, but they don't have a designated tagger. Now, that's what Bevo's going to do in 2021. He's going to make Adam Treloar the tagger. Why? Now, look, we knew when he was at Collingwood, there was some issues about his defensive attributes that he couldn't lay a tackle or anything like that. But that's okay. He's got 21 other guys around him to do all that sort of defensive shit, and all he's got to do is look after one bloke. That's not hard. He can get his own ball and dish it out to Bont and McRae and whatnot. So he'll just run around. He's got a great tank. He can run up and down the wings all day following whoever the hell he's going to be following, locking the clamps on him, and that'll be a 21-on-21 game. It'll be all be fine. You know, if he gets tired, he just follows the other guy to the bench just to try to shake the tag. We've seen that before. It'll save his hammies. Will his scores get affected? Probably. Because we've seen blokes like De Boer and... was it Crowley at Fremantle who was the tagger? Well, Ballon... Yeah, it was Crowley. They were just absolutely shit fantasy scorers. So there could be a lot of coaches out there who are going to get Treloar in those early rounds, and it's just really going to blow up in your face. So, and we know, look, it's a Bevo move. He just shits on all the fantasy coaches out there because no one's going to see it coming except for the eye of Bevo because it sees all.
Man, you're depressing, Jono.
Why? Because it could be true.
You bring in Adam Treloar in as a tagger and your other pick was Tom Dode.
Fucking oath. Fucking Jesus. Oath.
You still haven't touched the piss yet, have you?
Mm-mm. Come Sunday, there might be some hot takes. I'll be sitting in a pub all day.
Sitting here with my Heineken Zeros. Hating you.
I've got vanilla Coke.
Oh, God.
All right, Steve. Bring it home with your second hot take.
My well-researched second hot take. Matt Rowell, number one mid. Fucking book it. As the Suns march towards the top four in 2021. That's right, Matt Rowell, your spiritual king, will lead all comers in the midfield in fantasy scoring. Not a big sample size to go off, admittedly. But the other side of Rowell climbing the ladder is everyone else coming back. Lucky Neil can't be up there with his Brownlow regression onset. Clayton Oliver going to be a victim in the new time on ground. Taylor Adams made of paper. All the Bulldogs mids are about to die because they're going to steal the ball off each other, leading Matt Rowell to the promised land. We know tackles are a sticky stat. Great tackler, major ball winner, can kick goals. There's absolutely no one else in that midfield aside from the great man, Took Miller. who shook off the tag. Thank God for that. But that's it. It's Matty Rao season.
I like it. I like it. Matty Rao. Matty Rao season number one. And hey, great ambassador for Slip Slop Slap. We saw the photos there on socials, just absolutely lathered up to the fucking sunscreen. Yeah. That poor
plethora of sunscreen, like, I reckon that one is. Why is he not wearing a Legionnaire's hat? Legit,
yeah, true.
Legionnaire's hats for a gentleman like that are a fashion statement. And just bring
it back. Coming
back
to Legionnaires.
Bring it back.
Bolter Brewing had a limited release of hats in the Legionnaire style, but wasn't able to snag myself one.
It's probably the best thing they've released, to be fair.
Yeah, I remember used to wear them. Had to wear them at school, the old Legionnaire's hat. No hat, no play. Get fucked.
Jeez.
Probably why the teachers didn't really like me at school.
No hat, no play, get fucked. You'd love to see it. That's so good.
That should be the new campaign. There was some
no hat, no play, get fucked. Draft doctors say that's a t-shirt right there. T-shirt.
With a picture of Matty Rao. We did have some pretty interesting spicy takes from the listeners, didn't we?
Oh, there were some spicy takes.
they put us to shame, to be fair, listeners.
The only other one I had was Timmy English. It'll be a top two ruck.
Top two ruck.
Yeah.
I don't think Steph Martin is going to do shit.
Yeah, I agree.
People going, oh, Steph Martin, why?
Yeah,
I was watching
need a backup ruckman.
I was watching the footage from the Bulldogs training, and yeah, he had the yellow jersey on, which means you're in the B team, son, and that was Steph Martin. So,
what can they do aside from play ruck?
I told you they brought him in as a sparring
can play
partner.
Forward. That's contested all it mark, is. Like Macklemore.
They've brought in Steph Martin just to give Tim English training through the week.
Cop out.
I've always been on the Tim English, this will be the year. Like, even last year resisted it. This is the year. The only thing that I hate is his first three matchups is shit.
Who's he got?
Collingwood
is one of them. Melbourne, West Coast, and I can't remember the other one.
Collingwood.
Yeah, you got him round one. Yeah.
That's hard. Oh, speaking of rucks, I don't know if you guys have heard, but if I was to say a ruckman got Sean. Injured in
yeah. Sean Darcy, two to four weeks.
Who would have thought?
Oi, and you know that means actually Lloyd Meek season.
Oh, no. There's a hot take I didn't see on the Twitters. Taylor Q. Jai Simpkin to average 100 by season's end, and Bailey Fritch to be the new good personality, Tom Lynch.
Oh,
I like that.
I like the second.
Yours
one.
Isn't even spicy. You've just copied the listeners.
No,
I'm just reading out some of the. I'm just reading out some of the listeners.
No, Cam.
What? Oh, Cam.
Cam's copying the listeners.
What? Well, Rain
He's
Man.
Just mining.
I haven't even
He's
seen
data
it.
Data mining.
Data mining. Scraping.
Rain Man. Will Setterfield to average more than Sam Walsh in Supercoach.
Oh, fuck off.
Well, I can't see this tweet anymore because he's blocked, but I think it was Surly the Hanson said Big O to average more than Bruce.
Oh, yeah, he's blocked.
You blocked Surly.
I blocked him with all my burners, too.
Wow.
Took a while. Took a few hours.
Ben Brown to out-average Tom Hawkins and Jeremy Cameron. And, yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's going to be in 55 to 57.
Yeah.
Statesman to go a whole pod without saying absolutely and or gentlemen. Not a chance.
Actually, do you know who was spotted being the good personality Tom Lynch at Melbourne training?
Tommy Mac.
Tommy Mac.
Was he? Ooh. Was he really?
Yeah.
Fucking get it up, ya.
Yep.
Tommy Mac's season.
Might just be a little tidbit and might be written about in the draft kit. Before it actually happened.
Oh really? Jesus.
Did you really?
Yeah, I might have put a little nugget in there about it.
That is a bold prediction, sir.
What annoyed me is my hot take in the thing was Sam Walsh should be a top 10 mid, and then basically every article I've ever seen now is like pumping up Sam Walsh. I'm like, well, fuck.
You were the first.
Yeah, but it wasn't on record, so...
Okay. I thought you posted them.
Hacked. Mine was on record. Last week, boys.
What was that?
I ranked him at like number 7.
Oh.
Hasn't happened yet.
I didn't listen to the pod.
I was here, but I didn't
there
listen.
There in spirit.
Yeah. Did Cam stop talking? Good. Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah, there's some good ones in there. There's some good ones.
Read them out, Jono. Don't just say they're good ones. Read them out. Fuck.
Someone had Lockie Ash averaging over 80. I was like pretty happy with that. Give me that all that Ash,
I've got
man.
Isaac Cumming as a top 15 Supercoach defender by year end. Caldwell finishes higher than Haitley. Dan McStay to surprise everyone and average 85 in fantasy.
That's awesome. That's great.
Ashley Shields, you're going to be blocked once I read this out, but that's Caleb's the wrong to outscore Rao.
Oh,
so bad.
Now, Steve, you're our NFL expert here on the show. Alex Petropoulos says, Tom Brady to perform surgery on the Green Bay Packers and roll on into the Super Bowl 27-3.
I mean, if Chris Godwin's hands get fixed, maybe.
So the Packers are just going to destroy them?
No, I don't know. I think you generally play the when the Colts beat the Packers was an upset, and you beat them in the run game. I'm not sure the. I don't know.
Is that Lambeau, yeah?
Hey?
Is that Lambeau for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. You guys are saying words, and I have no idea what they mean.
Football.
Lambeau.
The American.
Lambeau.
Lockie Ash will average 80, and Dylan Stevens will average 90 this year. There it is. There it is.
I actually love that Dylan Stevens take. I think it's very spicy. One game sample size where he went absolutely bananas, but fucking love it. It's very good. Well,
Wayne Miller is a top 10
defender.
The
only problem I have with these second year guys is look at the trainings they've had. Like this preseason's been super short. Last year was all over the shop. That's what
and we've got one preseason sort of game this year.
That's sort of what makes me more in line with your Simpkin take. Those guys who have had sort of 5-6 years, they should be the kids. Fuck the kids. Fuck them kids.
The kids aren't all right.
All right. No, they're not.
Well, it's going to make
except
it
except for
hard.
Matt Rao.
We're only going to see one game. They've changed the scheduling now. Only one preseason match.
Well,
one official match and one like intra-club match.
Yeah.
Good.
Due to
let's
COVID.
Let's have less. None. No matches. Just going cold.
Going to head down to Casey Fields this year and watch Melbourne take on the mighty North Melbourne. Then I'll get some fucking information there. If they let people in, that's the other thing. Don't know what the hell's going on. Duggan to average more than Yeo in Supercoach.
I think that's... I buy that. I totally buy that. I think Duggan's going to play a lot more mid this year.
Training with the mids?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got Witherden and a few other blokes through that defence now, so why not?
Yeah.
Nick Caulfield, top 10 defender from Alex Wild. Jason Johannesson, the highest scoring doggy. That's from Clarkey.
I'd love to see the chain of events that lead to that happening.
It'd be Caleb Daniel, Hambone. Yeah, that's about it.
I don't know how that happens. That's an amazing take.
It'd just be Caleb
it'd be
Daniel,
like one
Hambone.
Of those... It could be like one of those King Ralph incidents, you know, where the whole royal family die or something in the photo.
Potentially.
And Jason Johannesson survives. He's John Goodman.
Pretty much. I think that's all that. Tim English average higher than ROB.
I reckon ROB's... Oh, he's such a good pick this year.
Yeah, but he's not going to go. He's going to go quick. You'll be the third.
Yeah, third of course. Will he go in round two?
Three.
Three to five. Three, four.
I reckon he'll go in two in some.
But this is what I'm saying, though. Like, all of the key positions, it's stacked for the first three rounds. There's going to be so many good mids left come round three. Can't wait.
It is punt defender season. That's
punt mids. For the first four rounds.
I hate to say it. I kind of agree.
Yeah, punt mids.
No. I don't know. You'll punt mids and then you'll just miss like 20 in a row. Yeah. And be like, oh, fuck. Dylan Shields, my M2.
And M3, Trent Cochin.
And Joel Selwood.
Oh,
and no. Then you'll look at those guys who are making up your D1 and F1 and go, oh, ooh, Dunkley could fail.
Yeah, Sidey could be tagged. Zach Williams could die. Oh, no.
Tom Phillips just doesn't get a run.
Yeah.
Chad Wingard.
Shai Bolton, massive regression.
Patrick Dangerfield, osteopubis.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. It's definitely punt defenders. Grab a couple of those forwards and shoot. Move dangerously.
I reckon there's a bit of value in the forwards. Like, Heaney's going late. Green's going...
But I reckon...
Not, when I say late, I mean later than usual.
Like, round 7, 8, 9, 10 sort of thing.
Round 6.
I actually think it's the opposite. I think the forwards will plateau. And some of the... I think it's going to plateau real quick. And so it's like...
Well, there's only what? As we had the forward show, there's 20 good forwards. And then it's just...
plateau.
Plateau?
Plateau?
Where did you learn English?
What do you say? Plateau?
Are you like that? Do you remember that Family Guy episode where they end every sentence like this?
Oh, no. Is that what Brenner's talking about?
Cool
Maybe.
Whip. Cool whip.
Cool whip.
Cool whip. Cool whip.
Really turned my life upside down, face.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, those forwards are really going to fall off the cliff. They are really falling off a cliff after this 20th forward.
Nope. See, there'll be a flat line through to there to forward 50. And so it just won't matter. Like, I reckon.
Oh, I know it won't matter.
Yeah. I reckon that...
Really?
Yeah, I really think so. I think there's going to be an uptick in small forwards playing on ball for longer periods. And so there'll be a 5-point jump across the board for those types.
Wow, so they're going to average 78 now.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's going to plateau really quick. Like you
plateau,
probably it's gonna plateau.
Plateau,
plateau. Jesus Christ, fucking Camisms. All right, that is gonna
Noah Anderson, top 30 mid on the way.
Noah Anderson,
Gold Coast minor premiership 2021. Fucking book it.
All right, that is gonna wrap up the show for this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, wait. Plug the draft kit and shit. We're probably releasing it this week.
Oh yeah, draft kit or the mock site?
Nah, next. It's the next week.
Which one are we releasing
first?
We're releasing the draft kit on the 3rd.
Ah, so probably the mock site's up at this point.
Is the mock site ready?
Yeah. Mock site's been going.
It's up.
Well, give me my login. I want to start drafting.
You've got one. You're good to go.
Oh yeah.
Get mocking.
Time to
get mocking people.
Time to pump up that Matt Crouch ADP, boys.
Can't be higher than it is.
Really?
It's 3 already, I think.
Time to
3 or 4.
Boom! Already.
Time to pump up that Harry Schoenberg with, ADP. Boys.
Matty Rowell is flying up the ranks, FYI. He went in round 2 the other day when I was mucking around with it.
Steve's,
as he should.
Steve's
not
been
like
doing
you
some
fucking
work.
Cowards. Like you cowards.
I had to delete a heap. I just see Steve Fizz login. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1.
Very good.
You absolutely love to see it.
When it yeah.
Mocksite is up and available right now. Get on. Log in. mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. Sign up. Draft kit coming out, what, Feb?
Feb 3rd, if we're done.
The weekend of February the 3rd.
That's not a weekend.
It's the weekend of. Which means that weekend.
We'll say Wednesday.
Okay, what about Friday the 5th?
Nope.
Nope. Wednesday the 3rd.
There we go.
It is decided. And if it's not ready, just message Cam. He's the one running
it's not
it.
Ready. Just wait longer.
No, message Warnie.
Yeah.
Just annoy Warnie.
Yeah, it's always Warnie's fault anyway. Thanks, everyone. See you next week.
You're welcome.
Oh, hello, Siri.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.